From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets. Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, will be here. We'll check in with the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, to see how the cash grain market is working in that area. Dave Dickey will be along with the agricultural news. Drew Lerner will be here with the agricultural weather forecast. And I'll talk with Kevin Johnson, an aide to 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson right here in the state of Illinois, about this weekend's Rural America Broadband Field Hearing that will be held at the University of Illinois in Springfield Saturday at noon. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
On this Wednesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day like this. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat at $6.66¾, down 8 cents. July at $7.27¾ from Chicago, 12¼ cents lower. December corn at the CME Group, $6.85¾, 4½ lower. The March at $6.98¾, down 4¼. May contract, $7.06¼, 4¼ lower. In July, down 4¾ at $7.09½ a bushel. Next year's December corn, $6.20¼, up a half. November soybeans, $13.20½, down 17½. January at $13.31½, 17¼ lower. The March at $13.38½, down 17¾. In July, it's $13.51¼, down 17¾. November of next year at $13.12, down 12¾. Bean meal at $3.39.90, down $5.90, and the bean oil at $55.04, down 27. Live cattle at $119.25 for the October, up 55. December at $118.85, down 35. September feeder cattle at $133.95, 40 cents lower, and the October lean hogs at $89.27½, finished 25 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $85.73 a barrel, $1.19 lower. Ethanol at $2.64.9, down 3 cents. Natural gas at $3.73¼, 6¾ cents lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel down 3¼ cents at $2.92.09. Gold futures at $1,805.50 an ounce, down $1.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, just about 95 points lower at 11,315. The dollar at 77.32, a bit stronger for the day at 0.3 higher, and the CRB index at 321.43, down 3.42. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Wednesday afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 75 degrees, west winds at about 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 20 tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 48 degrees, west winds between 6 and 8. Thursday should show us mostly sunny skies. The high tomorrow, 66 degrees, west-northwest winds at 6 to 9. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy. It'll be feeling pretty cool at 46 degrees, west-northwest winds at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Friday should show us again partly sunny skies. A high of 65, northwest winds at 3 to 7. Friday night, it'll cool to 46 degrees and be mostly cloudy. Saturday, partly sunny. A high of 65, Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 45, Sunday mostly cloudy, and a high of 66 degrees. Sunday night, cloudy and 46, Monday sunny and 72, Monday night, partly cloudy and 51. And on Tuesday, we should see mostly sunny skies, a high near 73 degrees. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org on our mobile site at m.willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon on this beautiful afternoon.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Are producers in Oakland in the field today?
You bet. And not full throttle yet, but they're hunting and choosing for fields that are ready and corn's ready and things of that nature. But I think by Friday we'll see harvesting pick up in pretty good fashion. We're all puzzled that the moisture levels aren't dropping faster in the corn. You know, maybe the corn stalks, died or something, and we just aren't seeing the moisture draw down like we anticipated. But don't forget, this is the 21st of September, not October 21st. And the moisture levels will be coming in and down, and we will see some beans harvested as well.
Are your expectations that in order to get harvest moving along more quickly, that elevators like Oakland and others will be posting half-off drying or some kind of incentive to bring farmers in with their corn?
Well, it's always hard to tell what will happen, but we've already done that.
Right.
And dried considerable volumes of corn. So we do have a feeling that the areas that I think are caught a little bit are those areas where they have it a large industrial plant and they're worried about 5 or 10 days of supply. And it's mainly in the eastern Corn Belt. And there are some spot bids that are pretty good in Iowa. The general feeling is that gave us an advantage to know that there's definitely some good corn yields out here in the Midwest. And as a result of that, outside of some anticipation of maybe some Chinese buying at some point in time way down the road, the market, I think, is vulnerable for some price erosion.
Now, it seemed that most in the trade, at least on the wire services, believed that soybeans were the culprit in the move lower today. Would you follow that as the idea that happened?
Yeah, the lack of good crush margins, soybean meal particularly, the lack of 5% less soybeans going to China, and there was this group of people out there that said, you know, the crop ratings dropped in the upper Midwest, and there were some, you know, blackened beans, and the crop ratings dropped. But, you know, we're hearing some awful good soybean yields, and as a result of that, I think any brave soul that was long beans went to the exit here today, and we did see a good hard sell-off in soybeans as well.
Will they be back?
You know, I don't think they will until way down the road. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, we can't get crude oil higher. We can't get export sales going to China. With, you know, a carry in the marketplace, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of price push in soybeans. Could beans help pull corn down? Sure. So, you know, yes, I think and it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see a higher USDA report in October as well.
Let me ask you kind of a different question, and it relates to the crude oil and then throughout the rest of the commodities. You suggested we can't get crude oil higher. Have we stabilized that marketplace, and are we stabilizing the rest of the commodities, or is it in your viewpoint that the economy here and around the globe is just in not that great a shape?
Well, there is this talk that once Libya in the next 30 days will be pumping a million barrels of oil again, and you know, at some point in time with lower prices, I think Saudi Arabia increased their production to offset some of that. But it does equate to some very slack and lack of demand in the world economy that does point to weaker oil prices. The big factor here is that if crude oil is under $90 a barrel, which it is 85 right now in the trading market, it does indicate that demand's weak. And there's this relationship to the ethanol, and there's also this relationship to the soy diesel. And, of course, we have an administration that's probably going to cut some of those blending fees and cut other measures for the ag community, which I think is also indirectly bearish to the farm economy.
You've been watching the Federal Reserve and their actions. They're suspecting that they'd like to try to lower mortgage rates for housing in the United States. Was that enough in this last step to get things started?
You know, the best barometer in the world to tell us you know, what the economy is doing for the U.S. stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and it's trading lower at this time. I thought it was a positive step what the Fed did, but the marketplace didn't take it as positive enough. And, of course, we're getting mixed signals in the economy. So as a result of that, the stock market's trading down about 88 points, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get unchanged by the end of the day.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Have a profitable day.
You too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, if you're listening to us on WILL AM 580, you might be thinking, hey, they've got more power than I thought they would at low power. That's not actually true. We still haven't dropped down. And the folks out at the towers have not started their work, though we expect that probably will happen tomorrow, but we're still waiting for some final word for them. Stay tuned with us, and if you have to or need to, you can always visit our website or m.willag.org on your smartphone or one of our affiliates for the Closing Market Report. Here's Dave now.
In agricultural news, China today says that tariffs it imposed on imports of U.S. chicken last year are legal after the U.S. filed a complaint with the World Trade Organization saying Beijing violated international trade rules. The Commerce Ministry said today on its website that China believes the anti-dumping and countervailing measures it has taken on chicken products originating in the U.S. are in accordance with the law and conform to WTO rules. The ministry said China would study Washington's request for talks on the issue and would handle the issue according to WTO dispute settlement procedures. China imposed the poultry tariffs in September of 2010. It said that U.S. chicken producers benefited from subsidies and were exporting their goods to China at unfairly low prices. A report from the Council on Foreign Relations says the U.S. should adopt a more pro-American trade policy that brings to more Americans more of the benefits of global engagement. The report says the U.S. lacks an ambitious trade policy and has not kept pace with other countries in opening new markets abroad, especially in the fast-growing economies of Asia and Latin America. Corn farmers in some parts of the U.S. plains are finding their newly harvested crop has to be heavily discounted or cannot be sold at all due to the presence of aflatoxin. Some growers have had to plow under their crop, while in some areas, farmers are absorbing a discount as high as $1 a bushel when tests reveal high levels of aflatoxin. This year, amid one of the longest and most devastating droughts in U.S. history, the fungus is being seen in concentration levels far above common thresholds for safety set by the U.S. government. General Mills today reported a better-than-expected quarterly profit as price increases helped it contend with the much higher ingredient and fuel costs that ate into its margins. First quarter net sales rose 8.9% to $3.85 billion. Some of the U.S. segments that enjoyed the largest sales gains were its snacks, which rose 17%, sales in its meals unit, which includes canned soups and dinner mixes, fell 4%. General Mills reported net income of $405.6 $6 million, or 61 cents per share, in the fiscal first quarter, which ended on August 28th, compared with $472.1 million, or 70 cents per share, a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org or on your smartphone at m.willag.org or just on your regular phone at 217-333-3434. It's all about the service and the agricultural markets and weather.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us is Kevin Johnson, aide to Congressman Tim Johnson of the 15th District in the state of Illinois. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Saturday of this week, your congressman and the representative on the Ag Committee will be in Springfield for a rural development hearing. Can you tell me about that, please?
Yes, I appreciate it, Todd. This coming Saturday at University of Springfield, we're going to have a field hearing. We have a handful of members from Tim's subcommittee going to be coming into Springfield to talk about rural development and broadband internet. How do we expand broadband internet in the rural development areas, in the rural area, and how can we make it better, and what's the best thing out there for us?
What are the congressional folks looking to hear?
What is the best way to go? Do we look at more laying more wire, more wireless? You know, we got parts of this state that, you know, we hear people say, hey, I don't have high-speed internet. How can we do this? And you know, you do stuff on the internet every day, Todd, for your business. The more high-speed we can get, the better we are.
It's about economic development?
Exactly right. And we have a lot of businesses that are in the rural areas that are trying to sell out to every place else, you know. We're looking at one farmer that is selling different type of agricultural stuff, and he's just doing it over the internet and trying to speed that up. And his biggest thing is we need faster internet. Also, we're also seeing a lot of these smaller hospitals in these towns. They're having to put a lot of their files on the internet, and they're looking for faster and reliable internet.
And part of it's about telemedicine and being able to get somebody in a rural area that doesn't need immediate medical attention but needs better medical advice.
Exactly right. You know, we are hearing more and more that more of the paperwork that hospitals do are going to be on the internet or are going to use the internet, and that is one of their major concerns. We have to have faster speed internet.
Is this one open to the public, the hearing that is?
Yes, it will be open. We're going to start at noon. It will be in Conference Room CD. It is in the Public Affairs Center building at UIS. So we're going to try and keep it till about from noon to 2.
Do we know which members will be present?
We have a few saying they're going to be there. I'm not hard and confirmed to release that yet.
Okay.
I wish I could, but as of right now, we're either thinking between 5 and 7 members showing up.
Why is it important for folks to show up at hearings like this?
Express your opinion. I try and tell people, even when they're out in D.C., when we have an ag committee here, and show up, learn about the issue, and then tell us your opinion. People call us after an issue's already done through a vote or something and say, why do you guys do that? You guys should have known better on an issue like that. This is why we're doing field hearings, to listen to people back home. What's the best way to provide high-speed internet broadband access and take it back to D.C.? Because we're going to hopefully take the suggestions of this hearing back to D.C., and then when we work on the Farm Bill, talk about that in the rural development subtitle.
Kevin, thanks so much.
Hey, I appreciate it, Todd.
Kevin Johnson is an aide to Congressman Tim Johnson of Illinois' 15th District. They will be holding and part of a rural broadband hearing in Springfield, Illinois, at the University of Illinois Springfield campus this Saturday. during the noon hour.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana are on the line. Scott Butcher, thanks so much for being with us. Are you busy today or not?
Yeah, not a lot of activity today, Todd.
Why not?
Well, I just think in our area it seems like we're really close on beans. We're obviously getting closer, but the weather has kind of slowed us down here a lot lately. Things cooling off really has slowed development, and we're seeing a little bit of corn, but, we're not getting overrun yet by any means.
And producers just happy to wait and let it dry down in the field, or is it just really that wet still?
Yeah, I think it really is just that wet still. I mean, we're probably close to 30% in a lot of areas. I think the biggest issue, similar on the beans, I think it's just not drying down. It's going to be really slow, it feels like.
Any reason the producers are telling you that the slowdown has happened other than the weather?
Yeah, no, I haven't really heard anything. I think it's mostly weather-related.
How's the margins on the ethanol plant?
Margins are good right now. We're having, decent margins, the last couple of months. Things have been pretty good. That looks like that's going to continue here for a while anyway.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because as we started out through the spring and then earlier into the summer, when you looked out to the fall, you thought, well, margins will be good through about harvest time, but they may not be after that. What's changed?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think the corn price dropping off a little bit obviously has helped. We are also seeing, I guess maybe the gas at the pump has, moved down a little bit here lately. But I think, for the last couple of months, it's stayed pretty high. So that's probably helped more than anything, as well as, low costs on other things as well.
Does that surprise you, or is it just an economic effect of an economy that's not recovering as quickly as some had expected?
Yeah, I don't necessarily, think it's that surprising. I think we probably, expected a little bit of that anyway.
And tell me about the bean market and how the draw is on plants in your area. I know you don't operate one of those.
Yeah, bean demand seems to be really slow. I think export demand has been pretty poor here lately. The crushers in our area seem to, for the last couple of months, they had enough beans. They were not really interested in buying a lot more beans. They've been pretty hand-to-mouth. I think they've seen pretty poor demand on the meal and the oil on that side of things. So they really just haven't been real aggressive looking for beans. I think we look for that to continue probably, at least through harvest time anyway. I don't think that, they're going to get up to full capacity. So just seems like bean demand is going to be slow here for a while.
It's been a large slowdown for both the corn and the beans. How's basis holding up?
Yeah, basis has really held up fairly well on corn. I think, as we look in our area, we're starting to see some of the ethanol people, the other processors are getting a little bit more aggressive for corn here in the last few days, just because there's not a lot of fall movement. And I think, most of the old crop corn has worked its way through the system, and there's not a lot of corn out there right now.
And your bids for the day?
Right now on cash corn, we would be 686, beans 1287.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Pecan Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1756, John McAdam was born. He invented macadam pavement for roads. In 1816, as surveyor to the Bristol Turnpike Trust, he remade their roads with a raised carriageway to improve drainage. Stones were graded and laid in three levels, with the smallest stones crushed and laid as a top surface. By the way, the macadamia nut was named for him. In 1921, a huge explosion at a fertilizer factory in Germany caused 500 deaths. The fertilizer was a 50-50 mix of ammonium nitrate and ammonium sulfate, which together had a tendency to clump. It was a routine to use dynamite and bulldozers to break up the clumped fertilizer, but this time the TNT set off an explosion of 4,500 tons of fertilizer, which created a crater 250 feet in diameter and 50 feet deep. In 1961, Earl Dixon died. His wife had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. Dixon devised a way that she could easily apply her own dressings. He prepared ready-made bandages by placing squares of cotton gauze at intervals along an adhesive strip. Dixon worked at Johnson & Johnson as a cotton buyer, and his home idea led to the mass production of Band-Aids. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated from Kansas City now joins us to take a look at the forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Where do you want to start? What's the most important thing happening around the planet, Drew?
Well, I think it's right here in our backyard over there in the hard red winter wheat country. You know, we got a good drink of water earlier this week, last weekend, and that really helped to moisten up the topsoil, but I'm afraid it wasn't quite enough. And we definitely need follow-up moisture. A lot of producers will be out there putting the seed in the ground here this week, and that means that we are limited on the amount of time we have before the next rain has to occur, especially in the southern parts of the plains where there's no subsoil moisture. And when that rain fell, it's going to be absorbed pretty far down deep into the ground and take that moisture away from the seeds, so germination will occur, and then there's not going to be any moisture there for the crop to sustain itself. So very, very important that we get some greater amounts of rain to occur across hard red wheat country. And while we're talking about hard red wheat here in the States, we've got another wheat area in the world that's certainly of interest, and that is over in Russia and parts of Ukraine. That area, which has been beat up by dryness in the last couple of years, is doing it again. Looks like rainfall has been inadequate across a big part of that region for planting and emergence, and some of the unirrigated crops in those areas are also susceptible for some kind of poorly established response as we move forward through these next couple of weeks. It gets colder in that part of the world quicker than it does here in the States, so it's really important that rain falls really in the next 2 or 3 weeks, or they're not going to have enough time for that crop to establish right.
How quickly the proposed supply picture can change from an abundant supply of wheat to the potential of a short wheat crop in the coming year. We're dealing with a short corn crop at the moment across the Midwest. When you take a look at that tough frost and freeze area that they had last week, do you suppose there's much damage that had been done?
Well, I think in a concentrated area of Minnesota there was, but probably outside of that, and that would be like the central and northern portions of the state, there was some damage that also occurred in little pockets in northern Iowa, also in a few spots in the Dakotas and a few in Wisconsin, but in general, I think the damage could have been a whole lot worse than it was. And from that perspective, the impact will be somewhat reduced. But certainly if you're a producer in Minnesota, it's a pretty bad situation.
Check in on the Chinese corn crop.
They are looking very good now. They've had a lot of rain in the past week in parts of the production region and getting to the point where it was a bit of a concern. But it looks like things are going to be much better now with good dry conditions lasting for the next 10 days.
From China, let's turn our attention from corn, well, mostly corn, to soybeans in Brazil and Argentina, please.
Well, it certainly looks as though we've been a little bit slow getting started with our rainfall in northern parts of Brazil here recently. That is going to continue for another week to maybe 10 days, but there's some computer forecast models now suggesting that rain may start in about 10 days, in the first days of October. I'm not real comfortable with getting real excited about that, but we'll see how it turns out. And in Argentina, it will probably stay drier than usual in the western crop areas for another 10 days or so. Some of those areas, they're not irrigated in Cordoba, southward to La Pampa and western Buenos Aires, do need rain.
And finally, clear harvest weather for the Midwest and the Corn Belt?
Well, yes and no. The Western Corn Belt will see a very good environment for dry conditions and excellent field progress, but the eastern part of the region is going to be under the influence of a cutoff low-pressure system for the next several days, taking us through the weekend into early next week. So Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, a lot of cloudiness and occasional showers.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason.